What do you love so much that you'd sin against others or break relationship with God to get it or keep it? That hidden idol may be the greatest spiritual danger in your life today. Let's dive in. The Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. If you haven't checked us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org, I want to encourage you to do that. There are so many excellent resources that we have created so that you can be active and productive in the public square. So check it out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We are in a series of None Righteous. But remember, on Tuesdays, we back up and we go to Old Testament Tuesday. And it's just a great time to go back into the Old Testament and remind ourselves of the illustrations and the scriptures and the word of God, which he has spoken over thousands upon thousands of years. And so we are going to look at Ezekiel chapter 14 today. And if you enjoy Old Testament Tuesdays, subscribe, like, share, comment, and if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. So with all that said, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Then some elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. So remember, Ezekiel is in Babylon, not the city of Babylon proper, but just south of it a little bit. And he is a prophet. I would call him the illustrated prophet or the illustrated preacher man. But he's there, and some elders sat down before him, and he's been prophesying over Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem had a prophet, Jeremiah, in it. So Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they're kind of all the trio of prophets of that day. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity." So look at this verse, verse 3. Have you ever heard of an idol of the heart? Oftentimes when I talk about idolatry, people think of Buddha in the corner or a little statue or something like that. But the reality is that idols of the heart is one of the biggest struggles that we can have in our society, in our culture. That is when we have more love for something other than God, and we break relationship to get that. We do whatever it takes to worship that idol of the heart. And God says, you set this idolatry up in your heart. That's why, like, the second commandment is don't have any idols. Don't worship anything or anyone else besides God. So let me give an example. As a father, I can tell you there's been idols in my heart where if my kids didn't necessarily respond in a way that I thought they should respond. And in that moment, it seems right, but basically they're not worshiping me. And so God's like, you want them to worship you. That's an idol of the heart. Or maybe I want everyone to like me. And so I'll say things that are untrue because I want a virtue signal to everyone that I am an okay person. That's an idol of the heart. Maybe I'm really into sports and I judge people who don't worship the team that I'm worshiping. That's an idol of the heart. I'm just picking on my own sins. Maybe not the last one so much, but just the things that I've done in my own life. Maybe I want Tanya, my wife, to respond to me a certain way. Oftentimes that's heart idolatry. So when I was CEO of Peacemaker Ministries, we had a saying, I think they still use it, but idols of the heart is when I have a desire that's grown so much that it turns into a demand, and then I judge and I punish others because they don't worship the same idol that I have. So he says this, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. They had set up a desire so much in their hearts that they loved it so much, it was actually the sin. It was right in front of them, and that's the stumbling block. Should I be consulted by them at all?" He's talking to these elders, these people who are supposedly leaders, and he's saying, why should I be consulted by them? They're filled with idolatry. "Therefore, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his sin, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols." So is Ezekiel saying that God's going to answer our prayers and our conversation with God, oftentimes according to our idolatry? And the answer is, yeah. Our sin causes a separation between us and God. And we know that only through the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith through grace, can we even draw near. But we should not live in willful disobedience or willful worship of false idols. Yes, they may be there at times, and yes, they may pop up at times, but we really need to find ways that we tear those down. And the only way is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. He's the truth and life. And being honest with yourself, when you are making something so important that you're willing to sin against another person, you have an idol. I intentionally put up Olympia here because for some, Olympia can become an idol where we're willing to sin against others to get what type of power we want out of Olympia. That's idolatry. That's not glorifying God. Does that mean, so someone, when I say that, they'll say, well, then we should just give up it. No, it's not all or nothing. Let's just grow up a little bit and back up. We still need to steward Olympia, but we don't need to worship Olympia. It's so important. He says, in order to lay hold of the hearts of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. So he says, I'm going to answer them according to the multitudes of their idols in order to lay hold of their hearts, the hearts of Israel. See, God wants your heart so, so very much. And I can tell you that he will do whatever it takes to win your heart over. He's pursuing you way more than you have ever pursued him. He loves you that much. He cares for you that much. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols. He's giving them the solution. He's giving these elders who are sitting in his midst the solution. Repent and turn away from your idols. If we want to win in Washington State, all parties, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, need to repent and turn away from our idols. Again, as soon as I say that, people are like, okay, so we just give up. It's not all or nothing. Stewardship is not necessarily idolatry. I can steward the land, say, I want the best for the environment around me. And that is incredibly different than worshiping the land and making the land my God, or the environment my God, or climate change my God. Those are two different things. Stewardship does not necessarily equate to idolatry. When I worship, when I'm willing to sin to get my desire, punish others, judge them, come against them, call them names, do all these kind of things, that is a form of idolatry, which is very different than debating the topics and the issues of the day. Two different things. When I belittle, when I put down, when I somehow try to firmly convince them, that is different than stewarding. So his solution, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. Idolatry is an abomination to God. Whether you're a progressive, woke ideologist, or you're a right-wing nut job, either way, either direction, either extreme, is an abomination to God. God wants you to worship him and him alone and no one else. He also desires that you steward these other areas. Why? Because he wants the gospel message to go out. He wants the heart of Christ to go out into the public square so people can hear about Jesus, turn to the living God, and find grace and mercy in their time of need. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in the Israel, who separate himself from me, set up his idols in his heart, puts right before him the stumbling block. You see that? I think that's the third time he talks about the stumbling block of his inequity. Inequity simply means sin. And then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself. I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb. He says, listen, if you're filled with idolatry, I'm going to answer you according to your idols, and I'm going to make you a living example. I will cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. He's saying, I'm going to prove to you that I'm God. Now, we oftentimes, with the cuddly little God that we've created that looks like Santa Claus, big, fat, and jolly, we don't think of God being this way. that he loves you so much, he will reveal himself to you. But if the prophet is prevailed upon to speak a word, it is I, the Lord, who have prevailed upon that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. They will bear the punishment of their iniquity as iniquity of their inquirer is, so that the equity of the prophet will be, in order that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions. Thus, they will be my people, and I shall be their God. He's doing all this so people won't go astray any longer. And I will be their God, declares the Lord God. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, I think I'm going to stop there. And next Old Testament Tuesday, I'm going to handle verses 12 through 22, I think it is, because I'm kind of running out of time. But here's the bottom line. Let's go to the bottom, and I'll come back to chapter 12 or verse 12 here a little bit later. The bottom line is, will you tear down your idols today? Will you repent and turn to the living God and worship him and him alone today? As you go into that public square, the idol of trying to get power, the idol of money, the idol of prestige, the idol of being noticed, the idol, I mean, we can just go through all of the common struggles of humanity. Will you tear it down and be a steward, where you recognize that God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, God is your provider, God goes before you, and you're simply a steward of whatever God has entrusted to you. That's my hope for you today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I pray that as we go into the public square today, that you will tear down every one of our idols, God. Go before us in all things, surround us in all things, use us mightily. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.